BYUSN scrimmage number one of the BYU football training camp in the books. Hear what Kalani Sitake and his defense coordinator Jay Hill thought about him. Plus, my one-on-one with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick and why he feels the offense struggled on Saturday. When are they going to name a quarterback?
Today? Question mark? The AP preseason poll drops any second. Will BYU land in the top 25? And Zach Wilson's performance in his first preseason game for the Miami Dolphins, what it could mean for his future at South Beach.
I almost sang it with you.
I know, we love that song.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Spencer Linton on this beautiful Monday, August 11th, alongside a man who knows every single word to the song Teach Me How to Jimmer, Jerem Jordan.
I don't know that I learned the moves or the lyrics, but Caitlin Clark was a guest on the Bird's Eye View podcast with Sue Bird, and Caitlin Clark loves her some Teach Me How to Jimmer.
I think, like, I always watch Steph or even Jimmer, like, who I love. Like, I told Jimmer this, like, when we were doing Sue's Places, like, he was one of my favorite players growing up, and there was the famous song, Teach Me How to Jimmer, and I had the shirt that said, Teach Me How to Jimmer. Like, if you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. It's a Teach Me How to Dougie remix. It's a Teach Me How to Jimmer. It's hilarious.
You need to get that thing signed.
I know. I don't think I have the shirt anymore.
How about that?
How fantastic
that?
Is
shirt.
It? Yes, that Jimmer has that connection. His network is crazy.
Yes, Jimmer was born 10 years too early. I think that if he had played 10 years later, longer NBA career.
We'd be singing a different tune about his professional
there
career
might be
in the
more,
NBA.
There might be more songs to play along with what you just added there. Yeah.
Oh, true basketball aficionados know the word Jimmer.
Oh, yeah, they know ball.
They know the word Jimmer.
Oh, yeah.
It's a verb.
It is a verb. Yeah, no. 14 years and running.
On that note, good vibes on a Monday. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
You're starting to see the personality come out in this team.
Those guys are showing that they're ready. Our run game is going to be good.
On the 30th, we'll be ready to go.
Oh, no doubt, Kalani will have his guys ready to go, but will BYU be ready to go and included in the brand new AP poll released just moments ago?
Just came out.
And the verdict is BYU is out, not ranked. However, they are the first team out of the poll in others receiving votes. Jerem, I believe they're ranked 26.
You're 26 in a 25-team poll. No. If you're out, you're not 26.
Interesting note in the rivalry dynamic. Utah right behind BYU and others receiving votes.
Hey, brother.
The Big 12 has four teams ranked, the highest being Arizona State at number 11, Kansas State
11.
At number 17, Iowa State 22nd, and at number 23, Texas
The
Tech.
Billionaires.
Okay. Colorado also in the others receiving votes category.
Yeah.
But they're further down the list.
They're way out.
What do you think about BYU being the first team out?
I'm surprised they're that high, honestly. You know, had Jake Retzlaff returned, I thought BYU had a chance to be in the top 15 for just the second time in program history. The only other time BYU's been preseason top 15 was after winning the Natty. They were 10th, which is kind of a slap in the face. You win the Natty, you're 10th. But BYU doesn't have a great history of being in this preseason poll, Spence. They almost were. They almost were. They've been in it 12 times.
Uh-huh.
That's it. You think of all the great teams. They don't get kind of that preseason, we think you're going to be good, you deserve it in the top 25.
84, 96 last year, all started unranked and all finished with great final rankings.
It doesn't mean they won't finish in the top 25. They still could, right? Most recently, they started in the top 25 in 22. Before that was 2009. There's not a history, especially recently, of being in the preseason poll. So I am somewhat surprised, but you go 11-2, you bring back a ton of pieces, not the quarterback, but a lot of pieces, and people should feel good about your team, and obviously they do. Utah getting some respect there. Nice to see four Big 12 teams. Would have loved, you know, five or six for sure, but it's nice to have a top 12 team in there. So Arizona State kind of starts as the pole position leader, as they should, as the defending champs, with a lot of returning starters. Here's what it looks like. Texas and Arch Manning, Drew Aller and Penn State at 2, Ohio State, national champs at 3. So this should be interesting. Got a lot of the blue bloods, a lot of big names. How about Illinois?
Yeah.
At 12.
Indiana at 20.
That kind of pops. SMU, BYU's, you could argue, best win at 16. You love, Kansas State, Iowa State, Farmageddon coming up in 13 days, 17 versus 22 in Dublin. So here we go. College football just a couple weeks out. I am surprised that BYU is as high as they are, the first team out. I think that's a good spot to start in.
It's beautiful because BYU is still not included, but they're not that far out. So they still get somewhat of a pole position that is favorable. You win one game over Portland State and a couple of teams ahead of you, you might be ranked in week two. Certainly, I think if BYU starts 2-0, they handle Portland State and they handle Stanford.
You're in.
You're in the top 25 before you start Big 12 play and even before you go to East Carolina. You pointed out that BYU has been ranked in the preseason poll 12 times in the history of Cougar football. Only twice of those 12 times has BYU finished higher or better than their initial preseason ranking.
Mm.
How about that?
So they typically are, we come out of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why even more that I love this, because BYU is quote unquote off the radar and have an opportunity to then go and show people what they are about. I don't know how much it really matters that BYU is one spot out.
It doesn't really
or
matter.
Compared to being like 24th or 25th, but there is this weird perception of, oh, you're ranked or you're not.
Well, yes. But in terms of where are you to start and where do you end up finishing? BYU has a little bit of stumble room. Should they start 5-0, they could lose and drop and not drop out, right? Because what's the end game here? It's to get to the Big 12 title game.
Be good enough to be in position to go to Dallas and play for a championship in your conference.
And that's more about tiebreakers than it is pole position, to be honest. But as it pertains to the college football playoff, and I'm not – is this the team that goes to the college football playoff? Certainly with the question at quarterback, it's a massive question mark for BYU. But if this team can get some of the takeaways and the clutch factor and the luck that they had last year, hey, they could be in the mix at the end. We'll see. But we have bigger questions to figure out, like who that quarterback is.
Mm. BYU ranked in the coaches' poll, and I thought there would be a greater disparity between the coaches' poll or the sports information director's poll.
Yeah, the coaches' poll is hot garbage. Doesn't matter.
And the actual media poll. I expected like at least 10 spots of difference. Because I don't put a ton of credence, but not that much separation.
Yeah.
BYU one spot out. I think this is the perfect position for BYU, all things considered.
I think it's pretty good because I don't know that they deserve to be ranked, frankly.
With no starting quarterback returning?
I think they should be close or barely in.
We thought they were going to be a top 16 team with Jake Retzlaff back at quarterback.
Absolutely. Is he worth 9 or 10 spots? Like, that's a pretty interesting thing. I would argue no. I like Jake. I like his experience. Statistically, not worth 9 or 10 spots. His experience, perhaps.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that they would sort of, in our eyes, drop. That's a precipitous drop.
Yeah, that kind of counteracts.
But would he actually have been, you know, maybe they're 18th or 20th or something. I think BYU deserved to be top 16 coming in. I really do.
I had
Jake Retzlaff in there.
I had them at 16 or 17 with Jake Retzlaff as the returning quarterback.
16, second highest preseason rank ever, by the way, for BYU. Mm. 10 being the number one for me.
Sure. But is Jake Retzlaff being gone worth that many spots? That kind of counteracts.
They'll break that down on Tulane Sports Nation.
I was with you. I thought, well, I mean, you lose your starting quarterback. There are a ton of question marks. I just don't think BYU is going to show up. And they didn't, but they're only one spot out.
They were this close, which is pretty interesting.
So a lot of media voters still think BYU is worthy.
Which is
of
good.
A top that, 25 ranking.
They're recognizing the team because BYU wasn't reliant on Jake Retzlaff to win all those games. They were a team. Jake was part of that team.
Very much a complete team, which
absolutely.
Is why last season was special.
And that's where the quarterback, whoever it is, needs to plug in and understand that. It's not on me to win all these games. It's on our team. LJ Martin's going to help. Andrew Gentry's going to help. Jack Kelly's going to help. Will Ferentz's going to help. It's everybody. This is a team again. We don't rely on, like Texas, they have a good team too, but they're going, hey, Arch is going to take us to, you know, you have a figurehead there.
Mm.
BYU's figurehead is Kalani Sitake. That's the figurehead.
Our question of the day is what
that
we
guy.
Just answered. What is your reaction to BYU being listed as the first team out in the preseason AP Top 25 poll. Answer using the hashtag BYUSN. Respond to our BYU Sports Nation accounts. Tell us what you think about the Cougars being the first team out. Is that enough to have the old chip on the shoulder for those guys?
I explained, by the
way. We're not ranked!
I explained last week the origin of that. It was a game. Literal piece
like
of wood.
Knock it
and
off
balance.
The shoulder. Yes.
Not in Dorito. Come on.
Hey, let's get to a quick response from at Art Director BYU. Oh, you know what? He's answering a different question. Okay, we'll have responses for you later in the show.
Okay. Yeah.
But again, what is your reaction to BYU being the first team out in the preseason AP Top 25 poll?
Is that the perfect spot? They're out, but they're right there?
I think that's why I literally said that. It's the perfect position in my opinion.
I wouldn't have minded. In fact, I would have liked it if they were in the Top 25. I just didn't think without Jake they'd probably be in it. That doesn't mean I wouldn't enjoy being ranked out of the gate.
Let them start 2-0, be ranked, have a bye week, see what happens there.
Why are you saying 3-0?
I'm just saying like to get ranked. I think
give me that third one.
No, give them two games to get ranked. Yeah. Then you're on a bye week, and maybe there's some more craziness that happens, and you jump up and you're number 21 when you're going to East Carolina.
I believe BYU will start 5-0. I do.
You think they're going to win their Big 12 opener at Colorado
and beat West Virginia at home on the Friday before conference?
Okay, the first weekend in October.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
5-0.
I believe BYU will be 5-0. If they're 4-1, that's pretty good.
I hope BYU can go 5-1 in the first six. That to me is still gives them a shot to play in the Big 12 championship game. You do anything worse than that?
Yeah.
Probably in big trouble.
That back end of the schedule.
Oof, that's tough.
It's tough.
That is tough.
There's some losses in there. It's just how many.
BYU trying to work off the rust and held their first lengthy scrimmage of training camp on Saturday. The clear biggest headline coming out of that first scrimmage from BYU comes from the offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick, who just came right out and said it. The offense struggled. Listen to this.
Today, I thought we were a little bit sloppy. We've been playing well in practice and having a good amount of success. And, one of the reasons why it's important to scrimmage in the stadium, I believe, is there's something about going in that stadium and playing in a game-like situation with a real Big 12 officiating crew.
When you hear Aaron Roderick, and there is some frustration in his voice, does it raise a flag of concern for you, Jerem?
No, because you have a new quarterback, you're splitting reps. This defense is really good. Think about how hard it is for the newcomers on offense to go up against that defense. I would argue if you put most offenses in that stadium against BYU's defense, they would have a hard time because that BYU D is good.
I would like to remind everybody that last year I heard the same exact thing coming out of training camp. BYU's defense is really good. Man, the offense really struggled. They couldn't put up points. They were throwing interceptions in the red zone. There were all these concerns. BYU could be able to score any points. BYU's defense is good.
There were no picks thrown, which is good. Jay Hill did say the offense has the burden of execution. If they throw an incomplete pass, it makes it no one notices what we didn't do on that play.
Yes.
which is true. So no, not concerned. The defense should be better at the beginning of camp, even if it wasn't this kind of BYU defense. Offense has to actually do something. Defense reacts to it.
It's tough not to get concerned even more so this year because of the quarterback situation.
Right.
Like last year was, well, Jake and Gary can probably figure it out. Now it's like, oh, man, three new guys. Offense wasn't playing well. Is BYU going to be able to score points?
Aaron did say, and maybe we'll hear this later, Aaron said, we're going to be able to run the ball, don't worry.
That's the clear strength of the team to this point of training camp on offense.
Yeah, and if you can run the ball, it will open up the pass game in a way that's awesome. Play action pass for BYU has been how they have struck down the field historically under Aaron Ruddick. Okay, is Kalani Sitake worried about some of the offensive struggles in the first scrimmage?
Part of the identity will be how our offense responds next week and how they respond to today. And it wasn't a horrible day for them. It was a really good defensive day. I mean, but I'm sure there's some things that Jay and the staff are going to look at and say we need to do better defensively. But it was pretty good. I mean, like, they didn't win every rep, but man, they were really, really good. And if they play at that level, I'll feel really good about it. Offensively, we did some really good things, but it just comes down to the execution. making the right read, making the right block, running the right route, things like that. And those are fixable items. So I'm not down on the offense. I've coached long enough now, especially as a head coach, to know that to what to look for in scrimmage one, and what I saw was really good.
I'll tell you what, I would have been surprised if the coaches had come out and said, the offense was incredible today. They were so good. They executed at a super high level. Like, I was not anticipating BYU's offense to do that in the first scrimmage when you're breaking in three brand new guys and trying to pick a starter.
And don't you want it to be a little 50-50?
Of course.
Yeah, if it's 100-0 on one side of the ball. Because, by the way, in fall camp, training camp, it's not fall. You don't want one side to dominate. You don't. You want, they won today, they won tomorrow.
You want each side to have their good days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back and forth.
I don't know how you could predict that they would win tomorrow.
In the scrimmage, it was on Saturday, it was probably 75 defense, 25 offense in the percentage.
And here's the thing. It's one scrimmage.
Exactly.
Let's not go crazy.
It's one thing.
Let's not go crazy over one thing.
I'll get really nervous if we're hearing the same things at the end of training camp.
Right.
We're having a lot of pre-snap penalties. Failure to execute, like we look really sloppy, then I'll be concerned.
What if they competitively lied? What if the offense was unbelievable and they're like, I don't know. And then BYU puts up 80 in game one, 50 in game two, you know. Like, ah! And in the end, it's one scrimmage. It's all good.
Just don't win 20-6 against Portland State, okay?
Yes. No, 2017 again.
Just don't do that.
Here's the thing. This team's way better in so many ways.
Yes.
Even if that actually happened. It's not the same 20-6.
The defense specifically. Yeah. So good. So good right now.
Yeah.
So good. Okay.
You love you some Homestar Runner.
Indeed,
we love us some Home. We're from that generation.
Bringing it back. Yeah. Bringing it back.
It was
my
hard
kids.
Though on my mission when one of my, I trained a kid, he was trying to explain it to me. I go, I have to watch this and I cannot for 2 years, dude. I'm really sorry.
So I'm glad you did not go down that rabbit hole on your
What is this?
All right, back to the conversation. Everybody clearly paying attention to every single quarterback rep. None more so than Aaron Roderick and Pesce Satake, are pained with the decision of who to go with at starting quarterback.
Maybe they love it.
A-Rod said each of the three quarterbacks had equal reps in Saturday's scrimmage, but he told me in a lengthy one-on-one that you will hear in the next segment on today's BYUSN that the time for equal reps is quickly coming to an end.
It's not going to be equal reps forever. You know, that's the time is coming soon where we're going to have to make some decisions. You can't keep giving equal reps to three guys or nobody will be ready to play. So that time will be coming soon. I'm not exactly sure how soon, but we are watching it very closely every day.
Sounding like President Russell M. Nelson out here.
Jarrah,
prepare yourself.
Some separation is happening in the quarterback competition.
Yes.
He expounds on that in that conversation as well.
Can't wait to hear it.
So between that and what we just heard from Aaron Roderick, I feel like BYU is going to name at least internally a starting quarterback by the end of this week.
Ooh! You think end of this week?
I think it will be
Let's
by
go.
The end of this week. At least internally.
Okay. If someone's pulling ahead, I'm hearing stuff about McKay. I'm hearing stuff about Bear. I'm not hearing enough about Trayson. I wanted to hear more about Trayson. And right now it feels like maybe Trayson's in third. That could be as of now. What if Trayson just crushes it in the next 3 days? Who knows?
It even harder
there's time,
on the
right?
coaches.
There's time for each of these three to make their case still. They've had plenty of opportunities in this 10 days of camp so far and whatnot. So I'm interested to see who that guy is that's pulling away. But as I said late last week, and I know a lot of you reacted to this on Twitter, if they're kind of neck and neck, I say go with Bear. That's what I say.
Just start the young guy and let him build for the future?
Yes. Well, wow. Build for the now, too. But if the two vets don't pull away, why do they deserve to be in there? Just because they played before?
Yeah.
They did, but their experience didn't pull away. If I'm McKay or Trayson, I pull away with my experience. I do. If I'm Bear, I'm going to compete with you, and I want to be the guy.
I'm excited.
I love this competition.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for every BYU fan and you, and again, to relive the interview with Aaron Roderick, because he breaks down and discusses all three quarterbacks with some specifics. You determine who you think the quarterback is that he is seeing some separation in.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's McKay. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Bear. I actually would be surprised if it's Trayson. I'm just not hearing enough about, hey, Trayson's doing this, Trayson's doing that. Maybe, and again, maybe he does it this week. Let's go.
I hope BYU has a starting quarterback named internally by Saturday, August 16th. I think that would be the most beneficial. 2 full weeks.
Give him 2 full weeks.
To be the guy who's getting the majority reps.
And word is they're closing fall camp either the end of this week or early next week.
Yep.
Just so they can get specifically ready for Portland State and give that guy all the reps. Okay, defensive coordinator Jay Hill. He was pleased with the defense, and he sees a defense that can and needs to be tough against the run.
I would say for the first scrimmage, I feel good about where we're at, but we're not content ever, and we're heading in the right direction. I think the biggest thing I took out of today that when we do things right, we can be stout against the run, and that's a big emphasis of ours off of last year's season to this year's. We got to be a little more stout and more dominant against the run.
He wants more predictable third and longs where they can get after the passer. So what do you make of BYU's run defense based on that comment?
I think Jay Hill is just classically underselling BYU. Like he said, yeah, we're pretty good. Like, I think they're really good. I think they're really good.
One of my favorite stories of that was when you said before the Colorado game, he's like giddy talking to you on the sideline. Like,
just like,
we're ready.
Like twitchy, amped up. He's just like, I believe the exact quote was, "Don't be surprised when we run these guys."
And they did.
Whoa.
They did. 36-14, man.
Okay. Okay. You know, we share it and we enjoy it like after the fact. But he said that to me before the game.
He knew.
Do not be surprised when we run these guys.
He knew.
We are well prepared. We're ready to dominate.
Yeah.
And they did. Fantastic.
And it cost Shedeur Sanders way too much. Gosh. I hope he does well, by the way, in the NFL.
Hey, he did his thing with the Cleveland Browns and their 5-quarterback scenario.
I think you and I are on the Browns roster at quarterback. That's weird. Got a lot of quarterback.
I can't believe we're so close to football season. As NFL games are preseason games are happening.
They're garbage, but we're watching.
It's actual kind of football, but a real game for BYU happens in how many days?
Countdown to the Vikings.
19 days. 19 days.
Carry it. 19 days. I'm honestly looking forward to Farmageddon a lot. In 12 days.
Yeah, in Ireland.
Oh, can't wait. I'm going. No, just kidding. I'm going to Dublin. No. Join Dave McCann, Blake Fowler, David Nixon on After Further Review Tuesday, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app. As the boys break down the schedule coming up tomorrow night on the app.
Jeremy's getting an early scout in on Iowa State for October 26th.
Be some wasted money right there. Us in Ireland?
After the break, we already played a portion of his interview, but Aaron Roderick gives you the full accoutrement. Sorry, the full mantra is what I was going for there.
I do like the word accoutrement, though.
That is a good word. Yeah. Of what he saw from the BYU offense. Is he going to name a quarterback in the next 5 days? You decide. This is BYU Weston.
They look good.
Who believed that they deserve to be ranked in the top 25?
Put those quarterbacks out there to see which one wins.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the depth of the receiver group.
Our run game is going to be good.
If they play at that level, I'll feel really good about it.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. On Saturday, right after BYU's first full scrimmage of training camp, I spoke with the offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick, to double down and ask on where the status of the quarterback race stands and why he was so frustrated about things and how they went in that scrimmage. Here's my one-on-one with A-Rod on BYU Sports Nation. Aaron, roughly a week and a half into BYU football training camp, what are you noticing in terms of the general progress of your offense?
Well, I think we're a work in progress. That's what I would say. We've been doing a lot of good things. You know, we have some veteran players who have played a lot of football for us that are doing a lot of good things. We have some young guys that are developing. And really, it's just a matter of just accruing more reps so that your timing and everything is in sync. And you just have to keep practicing to get ready for that first game. But I think we're on the way. You know, we've been doing a lot of good things in practice. I wasn't super pleased with how we played today, but I'm very optimistic about how we're going to be on offense this year.
I don't know how specific you want to get about the most recent practice, but what are some of the things that were causing you a little bit of concern and distress today?
We had too many penalties today. And, you know, it's what happens in fall camp. It's the first day we had a full Big 12 officiating crew. And when you have, you know, that officiating crew, you can't get away with all the little things that sometimes you get away with in a football practice. You know, you realize that the game, you have to be on point with all of your execution. You got to play fast. You got to get lined up, get your feet set before somebody goes in motion. Just a lot of those little details that get exposed when you have an officiating crew. I think, you know, that's where we need to start there. Cause you have some of those mistakes and now you're second and long, third and long. It makes it tough. But like I said, we've been doing a lot of good things, but today having that full officiating crew was an eye opener, I think, for a lot of our young players.
How much of the frustrations or maybe the mistakes today is because you're trying to break in a new quarterback and trying to get reps for three of those guys?
Honestly, today, I didn't have that much to do with the quarterback. It was just as a unit, just getting lined up quickly and playing with a real play clock and a real officiating crew. And, you know, sometimes you get away with a little holding penalty in practice that isn't going to get called and there's no consequences for it. And, or maybe it does get called in practice, but we're not actually driving the ball. You know, those things get exposed, in a scrimmage like today. And that's why you do it. That's, you have to scrimmage to learn from those things. And I'm really confident that our players will, you know, take those lessons and apply them to our next practice.
BYU football offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's be fair, because you also mentioned that you've seen your offense and your team do some really good things over the first week and a half of camp. So what specifically are you encouraged by the most in those roughly 10 days?
Well, I think we're going to be able to run the ball. And when we have our best 11, you know, 11 to 14, 15 guys available to us, we have some pretty dynamic personnel groups. We can do some things in the run game and in the passing game. I think, you know, we have some good players that are proven guys, you know, Chase Roberts and JoJo and Parker and LJ and Sione Moa and Carson Ryan. Those are guys that have played in big games. I probably just left somebody out. And we have a good offensive line. So I'm very confident we're going to be good on offense. But the offense, there's no shortcuts. You know, you have to just rep the plays over and over, execute, and learn to deal with all the different looks a defense can give you. And we're on our way to doing that. It's just, like I said, we're about 8-9 practices in, and we've got a few weeks to go before we're ready to play.
How do you feel about the overall depth and health of your offense right now? If you could shed some light into both of those things.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, no coach is ever going to say, I feel great about our depth. You know, it's just like, everybody's greedy and you always want more and more of it. But I do feel like we're a deeper team each year as we grow in this program. Each year we get a little bit deeper. And so we've had guys step up at every position when we've lost people. And I do think we have enough depth to get through the season at every position. But you have to have a sense of urgency when you're one of those younger guys that's a backup. We're trying to teach the sense of urgency of how quickly your opportunity can come, you know, and I think our running back position last year was a great example of guys just stepping up game after game after game, different guys stepping up. Or Enoch Nawahine played huge for us in the SMU game and the Baylor game last year, and he was probably the fifth running back on the depth chart, you know. And Sione Moa came out of nowhere to help us. You know, LJ, obviously everybody knows him, but those types of opportunities happen, and you have to be ready. And so we're getting to the point where our younger guys are starting to realize that game's coming up fast, and they've got to be able to execute.
Aaron Roderick is on BYU Sports Nation. Understandably, a lot of attention has been paid to the three-headed monster you have in the quarterback's room and the competition that has been very, very hotly contested thus far and is continually brewing. But in your opinion, has one of the three created or at least started to create some separation in that race?
Yeah, yes. I mean, I think there's starting to be some, a little bit of a separation there. I need to watch this film to confirm that. I think, you know, because the body of work grows incrementally. You know, you get a certain number of pass attempts each day. in practice, and you know that body of work grows, and we're keeping track of how these guys grade out every practice. We keep track of every stat in practice the same way you would in a real game, because stats aren't everything, but they do matter. It's part of the position. And then also just we grade them on if they're doing the right thing with the ball every play. And so, yeah, it's not going to be equal reps forever. You know, that's the time is coming soon where we're going to have to make some decisions. You can't keep giving equal reps to three guys or nobody will be ready to play. So, that time will be coming soon. I'm not exactly sure how soon, but, we are watching it very closely every day.
You have been very outspoken in years past about how much emphasis you put on ball security, on a quarterback's ability to get his team to the line right, yeah, and do so in a timely fashion, and certainly red zone efficiency. What else would you add to that list of the A-Rod love languages when it comes to determining who the starting quarterback is going to be?
Well, yeah, you're right. It starts with taking care of the football, because if you can't score without it, okay? If you give it to the other team, you can't score. So that's scoring's the name of the game. If you take care of the football, you always give yourself a chance to win. So, you know, last year we won a tight, you know, you win some tight games that are high scoring, you win some tight games that are low scoring, but if you take care of the ball, you give yourself a chance. So it starts there. And then, you know, just accuracy, throwing completions, moving the team, you know, the guy that moves the team the best down the field and scores points, because that's the name of the game. You got to score. And so that's kind of what we're looking for in, you know, decision making is huge part of the game. And so we're looking for a good decision maker who's accurate and takes care of the football, and then explosive plays is the final thing. You know, you can't, it's hard to win games going on 12, 13, 14 play drives. We love those. And we've had our share of those over the years. And when you do, when you chew a bunch of minutes off the clock and score a touchdown, that can be demoralizing to the other team, but it's hard to do that over and over and over again without getting some chunk plays. And so we're looking also for the quarterback that can create those explosive plays for us. You know, those 20, 30, 40, 50 yard gains that, you know, really put pressure on the other team. And so I would say those are the things that are really driving this decision.
You just said a few moments ago that it's not going to be equal reps forever, and that time is coming shortly when you will have a guy that's going to start to take the majority of those snaps. When do you anticipate that will be implemented into practice?
I'm not sure yet. I want to watch this film. I want to talk about it with our staff and obviously with Kalani. But, you know, we, like I said, it'll be soon. And that could be the end of next week. It could be early next week. I need to see, it'd be unfair of me to make that decision right now. And we just played about 100 snaps out there, and I haven't watched the tape yet.
Last year, we weren't sure, at least publicly, who was going to run out as the starting quarterback until we saw the starting quarterback run out with the offense in the opening series of game number one. Yes or no, do you anticipate a similar situation developing this season?
Probably not. I think last year it was sort of to our advantage to not let the opponent know who was going to run out there. And this year, you know, we haven't really talked about that yet, but I think this year when we do make a decision, we'll probably just make it and say who it is. But I need to talk to Kalani about that and see what it is. We haven't discussed that yet. So I don't, he might answer opposite of me, and you guys might think we're not on the same page or something, but because we haven't talked about it yet. But personally, I don't see any big advantage this year to not letting the opponent know. Last year, you know, that was an interesting situation with Jake and Gary, and you know, Gary's ability to run the way he did at Baylor and that type of thing. It was, we just tried to, you know, give ourselves an advantage in game one.
Ah, the game before the game. I respect
it. And really game two and game three, because those teams are already looking ahead. Hey, who are we preparing for? That type of thing. So you give your second opponent and your third opponent a little less time as well to know who to be ready for.
We're talking with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. When you assess a decision like that, whether you hold on to it until the game or the week before, the decision itself obviously is one that is not taken lightly and is very tough. In fact, Fessy Satake, your good friend, joked with me, like, I'm glad I'm not making the decision. Yeah. But how much does his opinion, Fessy's, as the pass game coordinator, factor into your decision, as well as Kalani and his opinions in the matter?
No, yeah, Fessy has a huge role in this. He's our passing game coordinator. He coaches our receivers. I've been coaching with him for a long time, and we have a great relationship, and I trust him very much. And so I very much count on his opinion. And then I'll add to that, though, our whole coaching staff, this is the most quarterback friendly, quarterback knowledgeable coaching staff I've ever worked with. Kevin Gilbride played quarterback in college. He's our tight ends coach. He played quarterback in college. He's been in the NFL for a long time. You know, his dad was a famous offensive coordinator and head coach. He has a lot of knowledge as well, where he gives good input. Coach Woods, our offensive line coach. He is absolutely every single thing he does in the run game and the passing game, he's always thinking of the quarterback first. And that's a pretty interesting approach for an O-line coach. A lot of those O-line guys don't think much about the QB part of it. And then of course Matt Mitchell's involved, but Fessy's role is huge to go back to that. And I trust him very much, and he'll definitely be in that conversation. That's why I don't want to like go too far with making bold statements until I've talked to these guys, because I welcome their input and I want it. And I don't sleep well at night. This is, I feel an obligation first of all to our players and the coaches in the program. And then I feel an obligation to, our quarterbacks. I want to do right by them and be fair to them. And then all of Cougar Nation is counting on us. The standard doesn't drop. Whoever takes that field is going to be expected to play like up to the BYU quarterback standard that's been set by so many other great QBs. And so, I take that very seriously, and I want to do right for everybody. And so it's tough.
Love that insight. Aaron Roderick is on BYU Sports Nation. We'll finish quickly with just an assessment of your three quarterbacks, maybe what each of them are doing well and what you are pushing each of those three individuals to work on right now, beginning with McKay Hillstead.
For McKay, it's just a matter of, he's operating so much more quickly this fall than he did in the spring. And you can just see that his comfort level in our offense has really grown. And I'm pleased with that growth. And it's what a difference from spring ball till now and how he's operating. And I would like to just see him continue to be able to just push the tempo, like get a play call, get our team going, get lined up, move things along. It's one of those things, as a fan, you're watching the game, you probably don't really notice, but the faster you can get that call, get people going, lined up, the more play clock you give yourself to see what the defense is doing. So that's what I want to see. McKay just keep growing in his, and how fast he plays and how he processes the information and moves our team. And that's what I'm looking for out of him.
All right. Great assessment on McKay Hillstead there. How about Trayson Bourget?
Trayson, he actually is the guy who knows the offense the best of the three, I would say. Just, he's been in the program a little bit longer than the other guys. And, I think Trayson is doing a lot of good things for our team. And really, it's just consistency day in and day out, just being consistent. He knows what to do. He runs the team well. I just want to see a high level of consistency from him.
Okay, and finally, Bear Bachmeier, who is an obviously exciting freshman with a high ceiling.
Yeah, Bear, very talented guy, very smart. It's amazing. He's only been here, I can't remember if today was practice 8 or 9, but to be in college football, for 8 or 9 practices and to know our offense as well as he does is very impressive. And with Bear, what we just need to see is just reps with our best players. Those reps just grow a little bit each day. And there's times where like he's doing the right thing with the ball, but maybe he hasn't thrown that particular route to that guy before. And maybe we're a couple inches off because sometimes it's things like a person's body language as they're coming out of their break and understanding the timing of it. With Bear, it's just a matter of building up his reps and gaining experience, but I'm very pleased with him. And like I said, all three guys are better than, or Trayson and McKay are both much better than they were in spring and much better than they were a year ago. So I'm pleased with their improvement. And then Bear is giving them everything they can handle. He's right in the mix.
Aaron, you are a gentleman and a football scholar to spend so much time with us during such a busy schedule. We appreciate the real life look into the emotions that you are experiencing right now. And I don't know, I'll send you some melatonin so you can try and get some rest, brother. You deserve a good night's rest.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Aaron.
Good to talk to you.
That confirms a lot of what I was kind of saying in the A block there. That was very interesting. We'll break that down coming up more tomorrow, I'm sure. If you miss any interview shows, Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or the free BYU TV app.
When we return, how did the former Cougars in the NFL perform in their first preseason games? And which former basketball player just signed a contract overseas? Headlines on BYUSN after this.
I bet it's that guy.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan.
Great stuff with A-Rod, by the way. That was good.
He was insightful.
Very insightful. He's always insightful.
I know he kind of answered one of the questions about the timetable, but I felt like I needed to double down and ask again. And yeah, he told us maybe the end of next week, which is why I'm like,
end of this week,
which is the end of this week.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Let's go.
I like it.
Let's get to your Monday headlines.
BYU football completes its first scrimmage of fall camp. Over 100 plays, Big 12 officiating crew, 5 pre-snap penalties by the offense, no picks thrown by the offense, but Jay Hill disappointed they didn't intercept any. Good battle there. Defense won the day, certainly. Camp continues. Follow our coverage here on BYU Sports Nation and on our YouTube channel.
Over the weekend, plenty of former BYU football stars involved in the NFL preseason, including Zach Wilson for the Miami Dolphins, going 5 of 9 for 96 yards. He also had 16 yards rushing. Keaton Slovis playing for the Houston Texans, 11 for 15 for 71 yards.
Okay.
Tyler Batty recorded a tackle and a pass deflection that ended up as an interception for the Minnesota Vikings. Jacob Robinson recorded a tackle for the 49ers.
It was a TFL, too.
Let's go. On we go to Darius Lassiter. Saw some playing time for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Caleb Etienne took 30 snaps with the Cincinnati Bengals offense. And Adam Schefter is reporting that Jamal Williams worked out with the Chicago Bears on Friday and will work out for the Miami Dolphins today.
Come on, Jamal. Let's go, baby. Women's soccer drew 1-1 against Utah Tech in its final exhibition game Saturday with the Cougars' lone goal from an Ellie Walbrook penalty. Cougars begin the regular season Thursday night at Minnesota.
Shout out to former BYU basketball player Trey Stewart, who has signed a contract with SBB Baskets Wolmerstedt in Germany.
Nice. We love us some minor league baseball teams and foreign teams. Good luck to Trey.
I'm excited for Trey. He's got a shot in Germany.
That's great.
Call Zach Selyus. I'm sure he's got some insight.
Oh, dude, he runs that place, man. Former BYU golfer Peter Quest finished second at the Pinnacle Bank Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. Quest finished 18 under on the tourney, one shot off the lead. How about that? And men's golfers Kihei Akina, who's an incoming freshman, Peter Kim, Tyson Shelley, tee off at the 125th U.S. Amateur Championship today. I only say amateur when it's golf. I say amateur otherwise. Today at the Olympic Club in San Francisco, the top 64 golfers advance to match play Wednesday. Best of luck to those guys.
Good luck to BYU's trio. After the break, we react, more like you react, to the preseason AP poll. BYU one spot out. They're 26th.
Jack Kelly was waving how many spots out BYU is. One.
How do all you feel about it? This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. We head back to the AP poll, which is all of 49 minutes old. BYU one spot out, number 26.
They're number 26, Spence.
They're number 26 in the top 25.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Some other talking points. The SEC continues to get the nod nationwide from media voters.
You want to crown them? Then crown them.
Mm-hmm. 10 teams, 10 SEC teams.
SEC bye. You know who's never been ranked in the AP poll ever preseason?
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, very nice.
Is that the team?
Vanderbilt's never been ranked in preseason. So if you ever feel bad about BYU football, think about Vanderbilt. Great baseball, though. Diego Pavia is like, what's up with that?
Who's the most overrated SEC team? Hard not to point to Texas A&M at number 19. We'll see what A&M is this year.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. A&M at 19.
Big 10 was six teams in the preseason top 25. The Big 12 with four. But again, BYU and Utah are the first two teams out. So that close to...
So six of the top 27.
Yes, right. The Big 12 almost on par with the Big 10 in terms of teams in the top 25. Yeah. The ACC...
They got three.
Three teams. Well, Clemson at four.
But two in the top 10. I mean, that's worth more, right?
Yes, Miami at 10 and SMU at
the ACC. It's just worth more.
Only one non-Power 4 team in the entire poll, and it is Boise State. And it
yeah,
is the
Boise
last,
State.
Last spot,
yeah,
no less.
How about Boise State at 25, BYU 26, if you will. Utah 27. That mountain time zone.
Yep.
Repping them mountains.
Interesting only one. I thought there'd be at least one more non-P4 team. But it's, I guess, because the Power 4 conferences are so big and there's...
Well, they've all been gobbled up into the other leagues.
Yeah.
It's just tough. It's kind of Boise State on an island now. Mm.
Notre Dame, number six, after making an appearance in the national championship game last year.
Yeah. Interesting. So BYU's highest ranked opponent is Iowa State, right?
Yes.
At 22?
Yep. Because BYU doesn't play Arizona State.
Winnable State.
Number 11. They don't play Kansas State, who is number 17. But they do play Iowa State and Texas Tech, who are 22nd, 23rd, respectively.
Two ranked teams in the preseason.
Will BYU be ranked when they play those teams?
Stanford did not make it in the preseason.
If BYU starts 5-0, which you presented, you believe that they're going to start 5-0?
I believe they very well could. I won't be shocked if they're 4-1.
Jerem, they're one
spot. Don't be 3-2.
They are one spot out right now, and they start 5-0 and have a bye week in there as well early in the season. They will be maybe number 13 or number 14.
Could climb that high depending on the shufflage.
11.
Which is a new word.
They're close enough to the top 25, literally one spot out.
Yep.
And if you win five straight games and have a bye week, that's 6 weeks of carnage above you.
Yeah.
If teams losing, if you're still perfect and the voters are still thinking about, oh yeah, BYU is good again, they were good last year, they're going to be treated favorably.
Because, yes, you're building.
Momentum.
Yes.
Yes, you're back again.
Yes.
Now, I think they'll be a top 14 team.
And then that final seven's the real gauntlet for BYU. You got some real tough stretches there.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Beginning with Utah and then at Iowa State, bye week at Texas Tech.
And I don't want to ignore what, Aaron said a minute ago to you. We'll break it down tomorrow more. There was a lot of juice.
Oh, man.
We learned some stuff, which is the point of the interviews. So nice work.
Again, listen to how he talks about all three quarterbacks. You tell me.
I thought that revealed
starter's going to
that two of the three are ahead of one of them. We'll talk about it more tomorrow.
Our question of the day, just talking about it, the top 25. What's your reaction to BYU being the first team out in the preseason AP poll?
Number 26.
At CD Shaw 99 on X says BYU still ranked above Utah. Which means even
kind of
no Jake Retzlaff. They, the voters, still give BYU the edge. This Misa likes.
Okay, Jar Jar Binks. The three QBs for BYU greater than Ampere? Is that what they're saying?
Hey, whatever.
That's really fun. That's some rivalry fodder right there.
That's what you took away from it. Yeah, still.
Well, look where Utah was. That's how BYU above it.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from at Paul Bennington 7, says respect and disrespect all in one poll. Great motivation either way.
Was it like
you got votes, but you weren't quite good enough to be.
It was a passive aggressive poll. It was both.
I've never felt respected and disrespected so much in the same situation.
All right. Number 26, baby.
That's a good elite voice.
That was good.
After the break, we wrap up with our rise and shout out on BYU Sports Nation.
Presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This program is on demand. You can download the free BYU app, subscribe, rate, and...
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Shout-out to the amazing BYU Girl Dad Camp that year number five of this. Ben and I went. It was unbelievable. It was fun to see so many ex-athletes, dads, parents from all over the country. I talked to parents from all over the country, literally Orlando all the way to Orem and Provo. So fun. If you haven't been and you have the opportunity, I highly recommend it. It was great. Yegor Demon hanging out with the Sister Gibb a little bit. Hung out with Matt Montague and Eric Nielsen from McKelly Wesley from some of those great teams. Such good quality time. Shout out to Heather Olmstead, Dilji Taylor, Lee Kamart, everybody.
Love the nationwide impact of the brand. Speaking of, I went to Ohio to ride roller coasters, not expecting to see any BYU fans. Met several kind folks from Saginaw, Michigan, and other.
Let's go!
Cleveland, they all know, Jerem.
Saginaw!
They all know. Well, thanks to today's guest, Aaron Roderick.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Gennaro Guilford. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs!